Your morning starts now. It's the Q102 Jeff and Jen podcast, brought to you by CVG Airport. Fly healthy through CVG. For more information, go to CVG Airport /fly healthy.
I've been having the best time in Montreal. I have found your crown and glory. I found your cat cafe. Oh my God, I realize it makes me a total cat lady that I am so excited about the idea of paying money to pat cats in a cafe that are identical to the cats I could pat for free at my house. I have cats, but I just got really excited about the idea of touching ones that didn't belong to me. And then I was like, oh, I guess this is how affairs start. I've got this lovely one at home that adores me, but I just want to feel one that isn't mine. Oh. So I am a New Zealander, but I live in Australia because I enjoy hearing sheep jokes. And Australia's quite an interesting place. I got into an argument about immigration with an old white taxi driver the other day. He wasn't a fan. And I said, I'm an immigrant. And he went, well, why don't you go back to where you came from? And I said, I don't think you understand how taxis work.
All right, 728, Jeff and Jen, Cincinnati's Q102. Yeah, speaking of cats, the makers of Fancy Feast have come out with a cookbook for humans to make dishes that taste like, I guess, what you feed your cat.
Okay.
Which we'll get into here shortly.
Cat taste.
Yeah, and if that doesn't tickle your fancy, there's a company looking to hire a Major League Baseball food tester to eat hot dogs and watch baseball. So if that sounds up your alley, we'll have the details here in a minute. It is Monday, the 12th of April of 2021. We're Jeff and Jen, and here it is, your news that didn't make the news on Cincinnati's Q102. Before we get to those food stories, there is this food story. Someone asked over 4,000 Americans to name their least favorite day of the week. And yeah, Monday, it is Monday in a landslide. Around 1 out of 3 people said they do not have a least favorite day, but Monday is like the 59% of people who have a least favorite day said it is Monday, which is why it helps that it's National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day, because we are a country that loves its cheese. We can all at least still agree on that, can we?
Yes, yep. We can.
So this is a Monday holiday we can all get behind. Happy National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day. According to a survey in honor of the holiday, 87% of Americans say they like grilled cheese. And the top 5 cheeses we want on our grilled cheese sandwiches: number 1, cheddar, followed by American, Swiss, provolone, and pepper jack.
I like to do 2 cheeses. Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoy doing, so when I make a grilled cheese, I get the bread, I put butter on, like, one side of the bread and butter on the other side.
What kind of bread do you use?
So I use the flax and fiber bread. It's Private Selection. That's just what I buy for our family. So
it's a Kroger
we use
brand,
that.
Right?
It is a Kroger brand, yeah.
Flax and fiber.
Yes.
All right.
So that's the kind of bread, which is a little dense, you know, just because it's got, like, some healthy context to it.
All right.
But I like that. And then I put butter on the tops of each of them. And then when I put it in open face. So both sides of the butter are down. And then I put one slice of cheese on one side and one slice of cheese on the other side. And then I put the lid on and I cook that kind of slow until I see the cheese is bubbly and melting. And then I put it together and then I just brown it.
Okay. Let's talk about the butter application to the bread. This is just cold bread out of the... No. You toast it first?
No, I don't. But what I do is I will let the butter sit out for a little bit so that it's softer.
I see. What now? I'm just curious, and I don't know if you've tried it this way. Have you ever, like, melted the butter in the skillet and then placed the bread on it that way?
No, I don't like doing that either, because I do put a little butter in there to kind of, like, lube things up before I put down my buttered bread.
Yeah.
But I don't, like, I leave it sit out so it gets to room temp and it just slides on very smoothly.
Let me throw a curveball in there. The boss one time showed me a trick. When you don't have the butter that's been sitting out so it's nice and spreadable, if you got the cold butter and it won't spread on your soft bread, mayonnaise.
Yeah, mayo is another option.
And I've been doing that the last few times
and it worked
convenience.
Well?
Yeah, and it's got, there's not a different taste, but there's maybe just a zzz, of a something.
A little zip.
Zing.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Also, I enjoy doing like one slice of like, this is how we make them, but we do white American cheddar and then pepper jack. And then if you want like extra zip, you can put some mustard down before you put down the cheese and that kind of adds some extra zip.
Yeah.
But I like the spicy cheese with a classic.
Now, what do you do in the event like a Kraft single does not normally fit the size of it? It's usually too small. So do you use two? Do you cut them up a certain way to cover coverage of the bread?
I do. I don't overlap. So what I do is I'll put like a slice of cheese down and then I'll like fold another one in half or fold it just like fill in the part of the bread that's not.
For even cheese distribution.
For even cheese. And then if I have like another slice, I'll just eat whatever's left over.
Understood. And you keep
That's
it.
How we make them at our house. Like the $5 bin from Kroger, Murray's cheese area.
Yeah.
Like whatever is left over from the previous cheese board, like they didn't finish, I just slice it thin and make it into a sandwich.
Yeah.
There you go.
Same.
And what is the maximum amount of cheese slices you will use on said grilled cheese sandwich?
I just do one slice on each piece of bread because I feel like sometimes if it gets too thick, it just doesn't melt properly and all that. Yeah.
That's good to know.
Fritch and I almost got in a fight earlier this morning because I feel that if it's a grilled cheese, that it has to be cut diagonal.
And I said, right, like just down the middle.
And we are not friends right now.
Yeah.
Nor
breaking
should you
the band
be.
Up.
That's, yeah.
It's for dipping.
It's over. Mm. It's over between us. I still can dip like that, Tim. It's possible. But I also am one of those purists that I don't like. Now I'm a non-purist. Like, I don't think you always have to have tomato soup. With a grilled cheese.
You don't have to.
Like, you could just throw down grilled cheese and chips, and it is, like, on.
100%.
Yeah.
And finally, grilled cheeses are our second favorite melted cheese food. Pizza came in first. Grilled cheese and mac and cheese tied for second. And cheeseburgers came in fourth. So you got some incredibly stiff competition there. It is 7:34 with Jeff and Jen at Cincinnati's Q102. Coming up at 7:40, we're going to call out another name to hopefully live free. If you hear your name, you got 10 minutes to call us back at 513-749-2320. If you do, within 10 minutes, you win $100. You're one step closer to winning the $25,000. And by the way, this is the last week to get in to win the 25G. So make sure you're paying attention because if you missed out the first time, maybe we called out your name and you didn't hear it, we put your name back in the hat. It could come up again. And if it's going to happen, it's going to happen this week. So make sure you're paying attention. In the meantime, 9 News consumer reporter John Matarese joins us now live on the phone. So you don't waste your money. Hey, John.
Good morning, Jeff. Are you going to whip me up some nice cat food for dinner today?
Yeah, maybe.
Fancy Feast.
Fancy Feast is a cookbook for humans, and we're going to tell you all about it coming up.
Oh, great, because my cats want to know about that, and that's just awesome. Something I can eat, too.
Yeah.
But I did want to tell you about a different book, and this is an amazing new book about King's Island. Have you heard about this one?
I put it up on our Facebook page over the weekend, John. I was so excited you were going to actually talk about this. It's on the Jeff and Jen Facebook page.
Yeah, and this is amazing. It is, believe it or not, there's never been a history of King's Island written, ever, ever. Think of all those years you worked there, Fritch. You know, there was no history book. There's history books of Disney World, like millions of them, and there was no history ever written of King's Island. So a 17-year-old kid who works there, he's worked the past two summers in their gift shop, said people would come into the gift shop and say, hi, I'm buying a King's Island t-shirt, I'm buying an Orion sweatshirt, and do you have a book about the history of King's Island? And he would say, no, we don't. And he said, after like the 10th person asked him that, he goes, that's it, I'm going to write one. So he actually, as part of a school project, he's a senior up at Mason High School. As a school project, he wrote a book, and not just a little kiddie book, 300 pages
Wow.
of the history of King's Island. And he's filling it with secrets, just stuff that, you know, and I know a lot about King's Island because I go there all the time, but I didn't know a lot of these things. One is that it was named by a 13-year-old girl.
No, I didn't know that.
Me either.
No, they had a contest. They didn't know what to name it, so they had a naming contest for school children, and some junior high girl came up with Kings from King's Mills, because that's where it was being built,
right.
And Island from Coney Island, and put it together as King's Island. And she won, and I think she won, like, a free ticket, which at the time was, like, $6.
Who knew? That's great.
You would have thought you would have gotten like a gold pass for life.
But yeah. I know. I was going to say, I think royalties, it's interesting also that it was $6 to get in. Like, how much was
you
it?
You can't
to,
even buy a pop yeah. player yeah. for $6.
Maybe not.
Uh-huh. That's another thing. It was $6 admission. And at the time, Coney Island, which was before Kings Island, you paid by the ride. It was old school. Where you went in, it was like a county fair.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. On a ride, it was like 50 cents to go on the roller coaster.
Wow.
So Kings Island came up. They said, we're going to do it like Disney and charge you $6 a day to get in. And these people said, that's not going to work. No one in Cincinnati is going to pay $6 just to get into a theme park because people are used to going and just paying 50 cents for a ride.
Right.
Wow, and they
well,
did.
I guess it worked. So that's one of the many secrets in it. One is, and one more for you, Orion, the new roller coaster, you know, that we've talked about for 2 years now, that was originally supposed to go to a different theme park. It was planned for a different Cedar Fair theme park.
Oh.
But I'm not allowed to say which one because Evan Postigirl, he's the guy who wrote the book. Evan said, please don't spoil that.
Oh.
You got to buy the book to find that out.
It's going to be on sale at Kings Island this summer, Joseph Beth, and it's going to be online.
How exciting.
Yeah, that is really cool. I mean, if you love Kings Island and if that's a part of your life, you know, your own history, think of how really cool. I mean, this book would be like a great gift for someone who's mm-hmm. super passionate and yeah. loved going there as a kid and
thrill
even
seekers.
As an adult. And
Or especially like for your parents, you think back if your parents used to go there in the 70s and 80s.
Right.
You know, and it's like, what a great gift for mom for Mother's Day if she used to love going to Kings Island in the 70s. So check it out. I've got the story on my John Matarese Money Facebook page with a link to where you can order the book and lots more information. As I always say, guys, don't waste your money.
That makes me want to pull up that Brady Bunch episode where they shot on location at Kings Island just to see the exteriors and see what it looked like back then.
Yep.
All right, buddy.
Different place. Great talking to you.
Good talking to you as well. 7:38, Jeff and Jen, Cincinnati's Q102. Paramount, which owned the Brady Bunch, also owned King. Remember back in the mm-hmm. day, we used to call it Paramount Kings Island.
Yeah,
I wonder if Evan interviewed Uncle Joe, because whenever Uncle Joe, who worked there for decades, has any stories about the secrets that went on there, they are juicy. Yeah,
like what? Can you share any of them?
Nope. I've been vaulted on that stuff.
Like Lachey worked there, you
Did
know.
He really?
Yeah, he was a part of the. I think the
entertainment.
Yeah, you know when you would go into the amphitheater there.
Thanks for listening to the Q102 Jeff and Jen Morning Show podcast, brought to you by CVG Airport. Fly healthy through CVG. For more information, go to CVG Airport / fly healthy.